Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Call it the Mark Zuckerberg apology tour.
This was a major breach of trust, and I'm really sorry that this happened. We have a basic responsibility to protect people's data, and if we can't do that, then we don't deserve to have the opportunity to serve people.
That is the Facebook CEO last night on CNN, one of many media outlets Mark Zuckerberg spoke with yesterday. He was responding to the barrage of criticism against Facebook for its role in providing data to Cambridge Analytica, the British data firm with ties to Donald Trump's 2016 campaign that accessed information, again, Cambridge Analytica did this, from 50 million Facebook users without their knowledge. Well, now lawmakers are demanding that Zuckerberg testify before Congress. When CNN asked him if he would, here's what he said.
So the short answer is I'm happy to if it's the right thing to do. So what we try to do is send the person at Facebook who will have the most knowledge about what Congress is trying to learn. So if that's me, then I am happy to go.
Well, this morning on MSNBC, here's how Connecticut Senator Richard Blumenthal responded to that.
You are the right person. You should come before the committee. There's no question about it. We hope you do it voluntarily. If it is my decision, I would subpoena him today.
Well, joining us now with his thoughts on how Facebook is handling this moment and what the company really does need to do to protect your privacy, Jonathan Zittrain. He's professor of international law at Harvard Law School and faculty director at the Berkman Klein Center for Internet and Society. Jonathan Zittrain, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much, Meghna.
So first of all, what do you make of Mark Zuckerberg's sort of tour of major media outlets yesterday and what he said regarding his apology to Facebook users?
Well, it certainly generates headlines, and he's saying some of the things that people would expect him to say. I guess if I had an opportunity to ask him a question, it would be, do you think something is fundamentally broken here, or is this, as often is said to be the case when something goes awry, in any endeavor, a bad apple kind of thing? Gosh, we trusted somebody. They turned out not to be trustworthy. We will be more suspicious in the future. Forensic audit. And I think he's probably at the moment intimating more in the second direction, i.e., there's nothing majorly wrong with the ecosystem. We just need to be less trusting. And over time, I don't know if that will result in the evolution of the space towards a more privacy protective in a fundamental way. Direction.
I mean, I think this is exactly the heart of the matter, right? Because what Zuckerberg posted on Facebook is that they're going to do what you said. Like, they're going to investigate all apps and conduct this full forensic audit to see if, you know, other sort of abuses of Facebook information has happened before. They're going to restrict developers' access to data. And they want to help users understand which apps they've allowed to access their data. So these are all very sort of technocratic fixes. But I think you're getting to the deeper point, which is, does Facebook recognize or believe even that, is there something fundamentally wrong with their entire business model? I mean, Jonathan Zittrain, are you saying that there is?
Well, I think the practice by which we release tons of information to one website, call it Facebook, both what we volunteer. You know, Google maybe has to infer from our searches what we're doing. With Facebook, it's like, sure, I'll tell you what I like. I'll click a like button next to all these things. And they see with whom we engage. There's all sorts of behavioral cues. That is information that seems not very sensitive one piece at a time, but, of course, adds up to a mosaic that, especially with, you know, some advances in machine learning and data processing, means you can infer an awful lot about somebody using all the information that they offer up. And the question is, to what end? Why are we compiling dossiers on ourselves that we share? And one reason might be, well, it allows news to be targeted to us in a satisfactory way, although we're still working on satisfactory, many of us there. But otherwise, it might be, you know, maybe we shouldn't have semi-public dossiers that apps are constantly importuning us to share pieces of in order to get access to a new website or service. You know, you use Facebook to sign up for something else. That kind of model, and we haven't really even talked about advertising yet, but that kind of model is one that tends to accrue data in one place. And that seems like not a great recipe for long-term privacy.
Right. I mean, so yesterday I was talking with Hiawatha Bray at the Globe, and he pointed out, just to underscore the obvious, that we're also talking about vast amounts, right, for 2 billion people, and that, you know, no single government has ever possessed that much information about folks. I'm curious what you think about Mark Zuckerberg when he was asked, should Facebook be regulated? He didn't outright say no, but he didn't say yes either. He said, I am not saying that I don't think it should be regulated. I mean, is that sort of a pathway towards a fix for this fundamental problem we're talking about?
Well, I wouldn't be cynical about that kind of answer. I think he, in the place he's in, has to be sort of non-committal but open to anything, and then figure out, well, what do you mean when you say regulation? It also may be that the kind of regulation that a bigger company might welcome would be one that would be much harder for smaller startups that also deal with personal data, just at a much smaller scale, to kind of wrap their arms around. So there's a kind of a trade-off even between privacy regulation and robust competition and kind of generative invention around the web. Over the longer term, surely a piece of this is going to be regulatory, but we need some really creative ideas.
Mm-hmm.
We are to have these big dossiers that get accumulated as to how to better protect their privacy. And there are some really neat, both, I think, legal/regulatory and technical approaches that together can lead to a different landscape than the one of 2015, which is roughly the one we have right now.
Yeah. So do you have an example?
Yeah. So on the legal front slash policy front, Jack Balkin, a colleague of mine at Yale, has developed an idea around what he calls information fiduciaries. And the basic idea is when a client talks to a lawyer or a patient to a doctor, that lawyer or doctor is a very powerful person in the relationship. They have access to the levers of power there, whether it's a cure for a disease or whether or not you're going to go to jail. They owe certain duties both to the patient or client and to society at large as they exercise that power, including around how they'll handle sensitive information that their client or patient offers.
Right.
And there may be an analogy then to why shouldn't Facebook declare, or if not ready to declare, be told, you and others like you have certain responsibilities to your users as they entrust stuff that go beyond whatever you happen to have in your terms of service about what you will and won't
yeah.
do.
Jonathan, yeah. We just got about 30 seconds here more to go, but to your point there on these sort of creative solutions, what you just
yeah.
described seemed to me to, in order for to get there, it would require some kind of regulation and or legislation. Do you see the appetite for that in Washington?
Traditionally, there isn't much appetite in Washington, whether because of gridlock or because of a general solicitude to companies. But there are appetites elsewhere. Europe, for example, has competitive reasons and sensitive culture around privacy reasons to be more aggressive. And that may be enough to start a ball rolling, at which point America would say, well, if it's good enough for them, maybe it's good enough for us. So I wouldn't say that's not possible. And even the companies themselves, I think, are coming around to the idea that they have a public relations problem and they have a trust problem, which is why Mark is on the road right now. So they may even find it a decent idea to offer some common sense protections.
Yeah. Well, Jonathan Zittrain is a professor of international law at Harvard Law School and faculty director at the Berkman Klein Center for Internet and Society. Jonathan, it's always great to have you. Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.